Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality. Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Wow, you know, my son made that song for me years and years and years ago, probably over 12 years ago, and I was just really feeling it and getting into it. So, welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle, Teacher, but most importantly, Student. Student of the universe, and I'm just so. This is a story. Here we go. This is a story. It feels so overwhelming. I can feel the energy, the electricity. I can feel it. I can feel it in my body probably for the last few months. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it is, and I'm not even trying to figure it out. Let me just give a brief introduction because I get a lot of new followers. People, because I don't actively market, so people organically find me, and I just like to give a brief introduction. When I say happiness, who the hell does she think she is? I'm happy. I know that word happy gets feels different, but let's forget about the word for a second, and let's focus on the energy. When I say happiness is a practice skill, that means anybody can practice, anybody can achieve it, and when you commit and you prioritize and you make it number one, I promise you, and the continent is practice like anything else, practicing being a landscaper, a chef, a musician, an artist. It's just practice, and the more you practice, I promise you, this shit works. I can't believe I did that. Yes, it works. So let me give you my definition of happiness. Let me share my definition of happiness, which is the ability to vibrate the energy of peace regardless of what's happening. For me, happiness is the energy of contentment and peace. Done. That's it. And feeling like that, vibrating like that 100% of the time, is that possible? No, not yet. Meaning that I can feel my vibration, feel higher, lower, but I'm promising you, with the practice, your vibration gradually opens up. It's all about just practicing and taking it and having another perspective. Let me just briefly, the reason why I'm so filled right now. I feel like I'm about to explode. I don't know if you can feel that. But I feel like I'm about to explode because I have so much good information I want to share. Let me just calm down. Hold on a second. Reality, spirituality. Let me just calm down. Yes, because if when I'm calm, then I'll be able to deliver the message. Be able to deliver what I just learned. But let me go back to the introduction, my personal introduction. I've been st- studying, researching, focusing on this thing called happiness. You know, happiness is a serious problem for over 40 years now. And when I was younger, I tell the same story. When I was younger, you know, when you blow out the candles on your birthday cake and you make a wish, I always wished for the same two things. I wanted to live to my potential. And I say I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea. I didn't have a direction. I said, I want to live to my potential, whatever that is. And then the second thing I said I want to be happy. Of course, life hits. Late teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, now 67. I hope nobody heard that. 67. The practice, I didn't even get to it until I figured out what wasn't true. We have all been programmed for unhappiness. What does that mean? That means that the program behaviors, every single one of us, has been programmed to worry. You did not learn how, you did not come on this planet worrying. Another program behavior, having expectations, blaming other people for how you're feeling, blaming your circumstances for how you're feeling. None of that is true. Your vibration and your energy has nothing to do with your external circumstances. What? Did she say that? Yes, she did. And again, this is my perspective. This is my journey. And I do not pretend to have all of the answers, but I definitely have answers for me. And if it works for me, it may work for some other people. And that's all I'm doing. I'm not running around and, I got the answers. Oh, I'm skipping through the tulips. No, what I'm saying is there are practical. Listen, if you want to become, thank you, Tom Brady, for your seven Super Bowl rings, but if you want to become the best of anything, it takes practice. And so all I'm saying is I've done a lot of practice. And the practice is not an easy one because it begins, and it ends, and it never leaves the mirror. The practice is being in the mirror. And I don't know about you, but it's now I'm used to it. It's in the beginning, it was very uncomfortable looking in the mirror and saying, oh, this is me. Oh, this is my responsibility. Oh, I can't put it on my husband, my mother, my father. Really, me? That's why it's so unique when you decide that if you are committed, if you do value contentment, whatever you value, that's what you are going to focus on, and that's what you are going. Let me just come back to me. What I value it. I value being content. I value being able to be at peace, regardless of the chaos in the world. Last one before we get to the topic, because I cannot wait to tell you the download the universe sent to me. There's a very famous study, hospice. It was done by a hospice nurse. Her name is Bronnie Ware. I always mention it because I think it's very powerful. She asked her patients who were dying, they had days to live, weeks to live, months to live, what are your five biggest regrets? Can you imagine? I don't know, but I think I'm going to listen to somebody that's dying and telling it because they're not going to be lying about it then. I don't think. So the five biggest regrets of the dying, the five most common regrets of the dying, and then, of course, you can Google this. One of them is, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. Number two, I wish I didn't work so hard. I know, I don't have that problem. I wish I never did. I wish, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. I mean, I do work hard when it's something that I want to do, but I'm not a workaholic type at all. I lean more toward the hippie side. Get it? I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. The fourth one is, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends, and I always put a little asterisk by that because we outgrow people. Nothing wrong with them, nothing wrong with you, nothing wrong with me. We just outgrow each other. And the last one is, I wish I would have been happier. And it's so interesting. The world, this is my perspective, the world is accomplishing, is a doing, it's in a place where you got to do. And all of this doing, and for what purpose? Is the purpose of doing because you are inspired, or is the purpose of doing is so you will feel a certain way? So there's a difference between I'm following my dream so I will be happy. You follow me here? I'm gonna attain this goal and then I'm gonna be happy. And so what I'm telling you is the happiness, the peace, the contentment is a totally different journey. It's a totally different lane. They don't work together, meaning that the happiness, the peace, comes from within. And you already know that. You already know that. And you know this thing, but this world sells dissatisfaction. Sells, S-E-L-L-S, dissatisfaction. Aren't you dissatisfied? Don't you want more? I'm not even going to mention any names, but there's a lot of very famous, world-renowned coaches that are, you need to do more, bigger dreams, bigger life. Yeah, make a difference. I get it. Do all of that. But if it's me, I'm doing the peace part first. I'm doing the where's my inner peace first, and then... Or you can do it simultaneously. But this program to get out there and achieve so you will feel a certain way, I'm sorry, but it's just not true. Let's ask a few people. Prince, Michael Jackson. You know, this whole thing, you know what really bothers me? I am going to get to the topic. But this thing about success, you want to be successful. Well, define success. I'm mad now. Define success. I define success. Let me give you my definition. I define success as the ability to live in the present moment. The ability to stay in the present moment. The ability to have peace in the present moment. Success for me is, when I say happiness is a practice skill, and it is, it's like any other skill, the more you commit to the practice. And see, that's why it's so powerful. It is a daily practice, the better the results. So you ask yourself, because I can't, you ask yourself, what is your priority? Is this even valuable? There's so many people, in fact, there's this woman online, and very, very, very popular. And I was listening to one of her videos, I mean, very popular, global figure, and she said, I just want to be happy. And that's exactly what I'm sharing. I just want to be happy. The first part of the practice is to gradually eliminate all of those programmed behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your peace. The programmed behaviors, and it's patience, too. Be patient with yourself. Change takes time. I'm ready to get into the topic. Oh, if you want to speak with me live, you can call in area code 646-564-9619 and press the number 1. Again, area code 646-564-9619 and press the number 1. And on Wisdom, you can ask to join. Are you ready for the answer to the topic today? I don't know about you, but I have not been able to get rid of this chatter, constant chatter in my head. You know, the negative talk, the something's wrong, the stories, the constant stories. I wake up with stories. Right. Let me My ego wakes up with stories. That's the first part of the practice, is separating, knowing, and separating yourself from the ego. You are not your ego. You are not your ego. So the practice is really constant, separating yourself. Practice putting your ego on a stage like you're looking at a you look like you're at a theater. The ego is on the stage. You're in the audience, and you're just watching it tell those doom and gloom stories about you, about the world, about life, about how everything is horrible, how you want more, how this isn't enough, how you're so dissatisfied. You know what I'm talking about. That kind of talk, it's endless. And so I was having one of those bouts. It was Friday. Let me just backtrack a little bit. I went to Florida for 2 days. I flew to Florida just for 2 days, and that was interesting because I'd never been to Florida, and that's when the universe gave this download information. So now I'm waking up. It was Friday morning. I'm waking up, and you know, it's constant. You wake up with a story. And before I tell you what I did to silence my ego and those thoughts, I'm going to share with you. You can Google this. It's a scientific study. And you know, I don't really come up with a lot of, research this, but it's called the double slit, S-L-I-T, experiment. And I don't know if it was done with atoms or electrons or who knows. But look it up, double slit experiment. And all it is that the atom or the neutron, whatever that, boy, wow. You can look it up for more details. Acts differently when it's observed. I believe that's with us too. Some of us acting differently when it's observed. So the atom, when you're looking at it, when the atom knows that a scientist is looking at it, it responds differently. I think it's something about pattern waves and two different types of waves, and it won't do this wave if you're watching it. My dear audience, guess what? It's the same with the ego. It's the same. When I say ego, it's that critical, you call it whatever you want. You know, when I say, for me, you can term it any way you want. Excuse me. Oh, hold on. Let me get my water. Hold on a second. I got to make sure. Hold on. You know, when you're drinking water at the end, you always have to do, let me show you again. You have to smack your lips and then say, ah. Anyway, that's how I drink my water. Not all the time. What was I saying? Oh, double slit experiment. So the whatever you want to call it, lower consciousness, critical mind, ego, doesn't matter. You know what I mean. And I've known about this experiment, and I asked my ego a question. I hadn't even gotten out of bed because it starts instantly. And I said, ego. No, I didn't say ego. I said, can you give me a good story? Can you tell me something good? Is it possible? Can you find another perspective other than this doom and gloom negative? In other words, I'm talking to myself, or I'm talking to the ego because I'm not the ego. And I'm saying, I hear all the doom and gloom. Can you, you know, you're powerful, all ego. Can you give me a story that, wow, that's another way of looking at it? My dear audience, guess what happened? Complete silence. I can't wait for you to try it. If you feel like this is a fit, complete silence. When I asked my ego for a good story, Now, the silence wasn't wrong, but it went silent. It went dead. And let me tell you the second question I asked my ego. And it instantly shuts up. It was a miracle. If you listen to me, you know that I always talk about trust and practicing trust. All you have to do is look at your life, look at the past, and ask yourself all of those challenges that you went through, all of those trials and tribulations that you went through. Wasn't there something that you, how did you benefit from that? Did you learn? Did you find that horrible situation, you know, that challenge, did you find that it served you in any way? You ask yourself that question. You just, you know, look through the life. Look through the life. I'm so excited over this. Let me share my story. Same with me. You all know the story. 2018, mother died. 2 months later, found out she left the house to the handyman. Ooh-wee. It took me 2 weeks, because of what I practiced, it took me 2 weeks to be able to laugh at that. That is a funny-ass story. Two weeks to laugh at it. What did I learn from it? Who would sign up for that? Who would sign up? But guess how that served me? And it took about 2 weeks. Well, not 2 weeks to... I already knew why. Let go of attachments. Attachments. Always subtract. There is absolutely no exception to this one. All attachments subtract from your peace. Every single attachment. Even attachments to a human. I have a son, my only son. Attached? No. Love, accept, yes. There's a big difference in the energy. There's a big difference in the vibration. Again, attached to him, no. Love, accept, yes. Now you say, what is the difference? The universe just gave this to me. That if he never speaks to me again, I'm going to be okay. That's what the universe hit me with. So the attachment, if my son Nathan never speaks to me again, if I never see Nathan again, I'm going to be okay. That's having zero attachments. And again, it is a practice. Don't think that I got here overnight. I said I was 67, but please, please, baby, please don't tell anybody. So the second question when I ask the ego, when I'm talking about losing house, and again, there's no losing anything. There are no mistakes in this world. You're not losing. Nothing's wrong. Everything is in order. You either trust that or you don't. Yeah, some of the things are in order. Some things, yeah, no. Either you're universal or you're human. Don't tell anybody. I gave up my human ID a long time ago. I gave it up. I know I'm human. I can look in the mirror. But the behavior is not human. It's not human to be able to laugh after 2 weeks. Correct that. And I'm really going off into another tangent. Let me come back to talking to the ego. This is another example. I had a health scan. You know, you put your hand on it looks like a mouse, and your whole body inside from the top of the head to the toes. There's a whole scan of your glands, of your organs, of your circulatory system. I have a lot of pesticides because I don't eat organic a lot, so I'm going to have to do something about it. And it's time. You know, it's time to eat better. What was my point? Oh, so after the scan, the nurse said, well, she's the doctor, said, wow, you have, she called it markers, 252 markers that are off. And then she spent probably about 30 minutes trying to scare me, as to why I'm, need to do change. You need to be detoxed. Now, maybe I do need a detox. I probably do. But see, that fear, and that's another thing, that now the ego will come in, the critical mind will come in and give me all these kind of stories of doom and gloom and worry. And then that's when I ask you, hey, ego, can you tell me something good about me having 250 markers off? Can you tell me something good about that? Silence. Now, you may say there's nothing good about it, but no. No. It's always good in something when you open. Let me share a really quick story that has to do with relationships with family members, mother and father. And this just happened yesterday, and it struck me, so I want to share it. There was a woman who was wearing this beautiful sweater I saw her at the gym, and I said, wow, I love that sweater. You know, where did you get it? Oh, my mom gave it to me. And she says, but my mother is always buying me things, and she keeps buying me things. She buys me jewelry. She buys me clothes. And if you know me, you know my mother did the same with me. My mother was addicted to HSN and QVC, and it was constant. And, you know, I stopped buying. And then your next question is, if she gifted the house to the handyman, why did she keep buying me gifts? That's another show. But back to this woman that was complaining about her mother buying her, and she kept telling her no. And I said, but your mother loves doing that. That gives your mother joy, buying, shopping. My mother was the same thing. When I talk about addiction, the addiction to distract, the addiction to get your head out of anything other than the mirror, that is an addiction. It's not distract. What is it? I'm losing the word. I've already lost the word. So I asked her, this is what I said. I said, listen, mothers, I don't have a mother. She's only going to be around for a little bit. I said, your mother loves doing that for you. Yes, I know, but I said, you only have a little bit more time left. She said, I told her to stop. I told her to stop buying me things. One of the program behaviors, and you already know this, one of the program behaviors that subtracts from your happiness is trying to control anyone or anything outside of yourself. That's it, trying to control. And before we end the show, I'm gonna read the list of all the program behaviors, not all of them, because I only have, let's see, how many? 44 program behaviors that subtract from your peace. There are probably more. But trying to control someone else, trying to get someone else to do something so you will feel better. I need you to change your behavior so I will feel better. How do you think that's going to turn out? How do you think that's going to work? Again, if you want to speak with me live, call in area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619 on Wisdom. If you want to join as a guest, just you know what to do. I told the woman, I said, trying to control your mother. And, you know, I usually keep my, I promise you, I stay out of everybody's business unless they ask. But for some reason, I was challenging this woman in a loving way, of course, so I could share the story with you today. I didn't know that yesterday, but it's a great example of the unconscious behavior of not even realizing that now this mother wants to buy. Let her hoard, buy, do whatever, as long as you're not harming yourself. Let these people go. And she said, yeah, but I have things and I still have tags on it. And I said, give the clothes away to the charity. I mean, we've got Safe Savers here. Give it away. And every solution that I offered, and I am into solutions, every solution that I offered was poo-poo. And then after maybe, I don't know, I already know, okay, do it your way. The practice, most people, scratch that because I don't know about the true statement. But from what I have encountered, the fervor for peace and contentment, I think I'm the only one in the room. And that's another thing that I had to learn, and I learned it last year, that everybody isn't into being peaceful or being content, because the addictions to drama, the addictions to going back and forth. You know, this peace, I remember when I started this journey, peace did not feel good. It was very uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. Oh, you mean there's nothing to stir up? Where's the drama? Drama sandwich. And what I had to learn is everybody is not into it. It's just not into this peace, contentment thing like I am. They're just not. But it still doesn't stop me from sharing. When I say happiness is a practice skill, let's talk about what to practice. I'm going to start at the bottom of the list because I usually start at the top of the list, and sometimes I don't get to the bottom of the list, so then you don't know what's on the bottom of the list. These are all programmed behaviors. Take a pencil out of paper if you want to, or you could just listen to it again, or not. These are programmed behaviors that have been proven. You already know. You can feel them when I name them. You can feel it. Ooh, 44. That was a new addition. Having hate, disdain, dislike for another person, including yourself. It's so interesting that. And I used to be this person. I would look at someone, people in the public like that, I don't like, I hate you. I've never even met them. I hate you. I don't like them. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody does it. Don't we? So that's one. Hate, disdain, dislike for another person. Because really, whatever you're feeling and whatever you're pointing at, and this was so hard for me I did not want to admit this shit. I did not want to admit what I saw in someone else and what I judged in someone else. Oh, no, don't tell me I have that too. I'm not going to believe it. No way. No. The real one, listen to this, anybody, you say somebody is a narcissist, ooh, how do you know that? See, this labeling people racist, narcissist, whatever you want to label them, know that you own that also. Sorry, not sorry. Here we go. And you see how it takes so long to get through this list? I'm going to do a little bit quicker. Identifying with the body, thinking that this body is you. You are more than your body. I understand, but identifying with it, having an agenda, and I don't really talk about this one that much, but having an agenda with someone. For an example, yesterday when the woman was telling me that she was complaining about her mother. My agenda was, I had an agenda. You follow me? I had an agenda to let her know that she was trying to control her mother, leave her mother alone, let her mother buy whatever she wants to buy. That was my agenda. Anytime, and that's one of the reasons why I knew I had an agenda, and that's one of the reasons why the agenda, especially because I was going back, and she was not hearing me. She didn't want to hear me, and there's nothing wrong with that. It wasn't personal. Why was I butting into her life? But I had an agenda, and I knew that after a second or two, it's time for me to go. It's time for me to move on. Having an agenda with someone, and this can only be, you're the only one that knows whether or not you have an agenda with someone, whether it's to teach them something, whether it's to change them, whether you think you're going, I don't know why I'm yelling today. I'm just so, I got so much, I could probably fly if I had some wings. Where was I? Having an agenda. Wanting someone else to do something always subtracts. Trust me on that one. Oh, this is a good one. Assuming you're wasting time, or the program of wasting time. Oh, I'm wasting time, wasting time. That whole big thing. You're not wasting time. Is there any wasted time in nature? Is there any wasted time in the universe? I don't know why I'm yelling at you. I can't deliver this softly. I can't deliver it like this. I'm an ex-boot camp instructor. And I used to, 25 years of teaching boot camp, 500 reps on each leg. I can't do it in the soft voice. Not for long. Assuming you're wasting time, you're not wasting time. It's impossible. I get it, but that wasting time is a wasting time program. There is no wasted time in the universe. Now I'm getting chills. You know I'm only on 39. Paying attention to numbers. That means social media numbers, bank account numbers, age numbers, any kind of number. Numbers used to make me feel a certain way, vibrate a certain way. I tell the story, forgive me if you've heard it 5 million times, but it is one of my favorite stories. When I first started doing the online radio shows on Blog Talk Radio, and again, if you want to speak with me live, you call in at 646-564-9619. Again, 646-564-9619, and on Wisdom, you just ask to join. When I started, what was it, 2010. What is this? No, it was before that. Anyway, it was before 2010. Anyway, I remember when I first started speaking online, and I remember looking at my watch. I used to wear a watch. I said, gee, what? How do I speak for 5 minutes? What do I say? I was struggling, really struggling. And look at me now. You can't shut me up. There we go with practice. But do you have enough patience? Do you have enough patience? Do you practice enough patience to be okay with how long the process takes, whatever process it is? Are you patient? That is really the question. But let me get back to the numbers. So I'm up here, years ago, and numbers, the statistics are, three people listen, zero people listen, zero people listen, one person listen, four people listen, zero people listen, zero people listen. And then I started complaining. I said, universe, I want to share your message. Why isn't anybody listening? And then the universe does what it always does, with the baseball bat to the back of my head, and said, we're listening. Isn't that enough? My practice is I don't pay attention to any numbers. One like, zero likes, 5 million likes. You know what? I was speaking with a gentleman, you know, these youngsters, and he told me one of my videos, it was probably 2 years ago, he says, you have over 4,000 likes? Not likes. You have 4,000 views. That's what it says, because not a lot of people like it. Who knows if they like it? But 4,000 views, I had no idea. I was really surprised. Anyway, let's see. And then another one had 1,000. But the last numbers, one person, 1,000. I'm not going to be concerned about numbers. Here we go. Thinking there is something wrong with life being unfair and unjust. Uh-oh. I'm going to go faster. Thinking that there is something wrong with life being unfair and unjust. Using the word should. Should is a heavy word, isn't it? Can't you energetically feel should? I never use it. There's nothing I should do, only what I'm inspired to do. Okay, having regrets. We already know that. Having regrets. That's a program, though. See, the program is to have a regret. It's really getting back to who were you before you were programmed. That is the practice. Getting back to who were you before the programming, before a regret. Rigidity. Why am I rigidity? I don't need to yell at you. Rigidity. Closed-minded to new beliefs, new behaviors, and new ideas. I'm going to ask you a question. When's the last time you changed your mind about a belief, a really deep-seated belief that you had, that you held on to for years? When is the last time you changed your mind? When is the last time, wow, that's not even true. Reacting rather than responding. The reacting is a program. When I tell you my mother died, a gift of the family house of the handyman, the reaction is always the same. I have never had a different reaction other than, now I need to get water. Water. Or the reaction is a program. Anytime you react with what? That you're programmed. So the practice is responding. The practice is being so self-aware that you respond and you don't react. You're always conscious. And when I first, years ago, I mean, this always being conscious, it was really, it's exhausting. It was. Now I live like it. I'm so used to it. It's everything. But it's a practice. And it didn't happen overnight. And with patience, here we go. Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one you're going to like. Maybe. I don't know. Rushing. Oh, hold on a second. I have someone who wants to. Hey, Robert, let me do this. Hold on, let me press this number here, like that. Click, 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 click. Hey, Robert.
Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Robert Sharp.
I've been listening, and it's been very eye-opening. You know, I enjoy, you know, listening to your book. You know, when you got to the point when you were talking about how, you know, you tell the story about your mom and the handyman and the house, and the fact that it universally gets that kind of reaction, it just made me wonder, you know, like how big that, how far-reaching that kind of programming, you know, and a particular, you know, item can be. I mean, it's like a mass, like, you know, you talk about mass hysteria. It's kind of like mass programming.
You know what, Robert? While you were speaking, my whole body was chilling up. And I want to say this, and it is not with you, as if, yes, you get it. That's what I'm saying. It's so deep, Robert. It's so deep that people don't even know they're programmed. So let me give you a quick example. You know, when I was living in the middle of the forest for almost 5 years. One of my programs was You're Lonely. You know, I moved there and didn't know anyone. You're Lonely. That was my program that kept coming up. Oh, you're lonely. You're by yourself. You're lonely. That's another program. So, and another thing that happened to me, I'll never forget, and this is one of the reasons why I didn't tell anybody, because I knew that the program response was going to happen. I was 10 years ago maybe, and I was walking in a parking lot. I don't know if you know the story, Robert, but you know most of my stories. I was walking in a parking lot, and did you know the story about the one when I got hit by a car?
I do, but you should tell it. Go ahead and tell it.
Thanks. I got hit by a car while walking. And, of course, I survived. I limp now. No, that's a bad joke. But I got hit by a car by walking, while I was walking. It was really crazy, really crazy. So I'm walking in a parking lot, and I see this woman coming towards me, and I'm thinking, she's not slowing down. And I'm kind of lifting up my knees. I got my gym bag, and I'm kind of doing some high stepping, and clipped me right with the driver's side headlight. She clipped me. You know, of course I fell, and you know, bruised and everything. But when I got home, I said, "Wow, can you imagine if I had if there was a camera on my face?" If there was a camera on my face and how big my eyes got and how high my eyebrows went because I knew I was about to get hit by a car, can you imagine the comedy? And the headline, happiness specialist gets hit by a car. Story at 11. So, Robert, I knew that if I told anybody that I got hit by a car while walking, because I told a couple, and the response is saying, first I say hit by a car, and then I say while walking, it's, test it out.
Yeah, yep. Well, I don't have one of those that has generates that kind of, you know, mass reaction.
You could make one up, just do a test, scientific experiment.
But
I'm telling you, it is deep, Robert, and that's what I've been trying to say forever. It is deep, 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 even to the point where the programming of what is love, you know, this thing about love. Well, I contend really love, I contend that it's mostly attachment, not love, attachment. Anytime, yeah, but that's my thing. And what else did you want to share? I love when you call in. I really do.
Okay. Well, you know, that was the main thing. I mean, you know, and then, you know, the idea of, you know, asking self or ego for a good story upon waking up, you know, and that moment of silence, I think that's a good interrupter, you know, that we can maybe do. And, you know, and then, you know, there might be a time where there is an automatic good, you know, story that naturally.
We'll see. I haven't had it yet. meaning that my ego, I don't know about yours, but my ego is depressed. It's discontented. It just needs to be fed. It needs so much nourishment, and I refuse. Sometimes, but
that's what practice is for. That's what practice is for.
So. I really appreciate you calling in, Robert. Always.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. You know, I loved, and thank you for that, Robert. And that's really, if I get something, if I get downloaded something, I love to share it. And so, getting back to asking those thoughts that are going on and on and on. Give me a good story. Not only that, ask the ego, how is this serving me? And the other thing I want to say, Robert, and everyone else, is that because what's going to happen is, because I've been testing this for the last couple of days, it's going to go silent, and then it's going to come back. So you may have to say, give me a good story, maybe 100 times in 5 minutes, 100 times, maybe 100 times in a half hour. But be diligent, practice, be committed. Not get committed. Be committed. Be committed. I'm committed. Oh, this is a new game. And that's the other thing. Have fun. Lighten up with all this. Let me get back to the list. Rushing. We talked about that. Did I say rushing? Rushing. That's an easy one, my dear audience. Just stop rushing. There is no way you can feel peaceful, content when you're rushing. So that's a really a starter. That's for the beginners. That's for the beginner people. Just stop rushing. And here we go. Being impatient. We already know that. Impatience. That's a program. Rushing is a program. Being impatient is a program. Uh-oh, here we go. This was me. Oh, don't tell anybody. Needing to be right. Let's talk about some addictions. Let's talk about some addictions that no one talks about. You heard about the gambling, you heard about the drinking, the spending, the food, the drugs. How about the addiction to needing to be right? How about the addiction just needing something from someone? I need something from someone else. How about the addiction to being sad? How about the addiction to being fearful? The addiction to worrying. We all know that worrying doesn't help the person that you're worried about, doesn't help you, but why do you do it? Could it be addiction? Could it be that you're addicted to worrying? That's just a question. It is a programming. The needing to be right, the lack of personal growth. If, I'm not going to talk at you, let me speak for me. No, monitor, pay attention to your smallest shift, your smallest shifts in energy, your smallest shift in perspective. Pay attention to your expansion and celebrate. Even when I say the smallest, I don't even want to say smallest, because there's nothing big or small in the universe. It just is. And big and small is a judgment. Big, small, it just is. It's really flattening out all of this stuff. Lack of personal growth. Allowing your ego to dictate your words and your behavior. I know when my ego's talking. Allowing it to... Again, when I tell you I'm starving my ego, I used to get a crowbar and bash it at the back of the knees in a loving way. But starving the ego, all it is take back control of who you are. You are not your ego. You are not stories. You are a spiritual entity having a human experience. Here we go, resisting any moment. That's another one. So what does that mean? This isn't supposed to be happening. Well, if you're driving and you lose your wallet, that happens. If I'm driving and I have a flat tire, it happens. But resisting it, oh, God, let whatever happen is going to happen. So it's, okay, this is it, next moment. It's not, I don't want this to happen. This is what's happening. This is what's on the menu. This is what's on the table, dinner table. This is what I'm going to eat. Okay? Done. Ooh, I'm moving up the list. Okay, being critical of yourself or others. You know what people love to do? I used to do the same thing. Love to talk negatively about other people. But I'm telling you right now, you might as well just take a big jug of poison, a big jug of arsenic. When you're negative, and especially you find someone else that likes to talk negative about other people, drink the arsenic. You might as well warm it up. I don't know if arsenic tastes better warm or cold. You're going to have to let me know. No, that talking negative, and it's so infectious too. I used to do it all the time. That was a great way to pass the time of day. In fact, when I was in Florida, I was in the hallway outside of some offices, and all I heard was people talking bad about their coworker who wasn't in the office at the time. Because, you know, Walter, you can hear everything. Anywho, talking critical about someone else. Okay, here we go. The inability to forgive, the inability or the resistance to forgive, also known as, you ready? Also known as, and I have the world's record, Guinness World Record holder. I am the Guinness World Record holder, past, for holding a grudge. How many out there hold grudges? Oh, no, I just don't talk to them anymore. Oh, no, they're okay. I just don't. I'm talking about that vibration. Is there a pee under the mattress? Is there a chink? Is there a little chink? Is there something? Is there some little pick? Is there a little speck of grain? Is there a grain of sand holding on to a grudge? Is there something holding on to a grudge? I learned that from my father. I learned that from Ralph Norrington. I think I held grudges for years. And the crazy thing is I thought I was punishing them. You all know this. This is 2023. No. Even the handyman, the attorney, I could have lunch with either one, and I would treat. I don't have a grudge. I have a grudge against the attorney or the handyman. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to take care of business. That doesn't mean that I didn't take care of business, and that doesn't mean that I'm still taking care of business because it still isn't over. Oh, the battle is still on. Sean Tankel is still in my life. That's the attorney that drafted the Third Amendment to get the house of the handyman. I digress. Assigning a label to an experience, that subtracts from your happiness. Assigning a label to an experience. And let me, good, bad, sad, terrible. I was interviewed on Friday, and the host asked me, he says, yeah, it was terrible. He was talking about his cancer scare was terrible. And I said, terrible? It was, see, that thing, cancer, terrible. Tell me that's a deep program. So that you can describe without the labels. I never use labels anymore, ever, to describe. I'm feeling, no, labels, all labels. And, in fact, all labels are judgments. All judgments subtract from your happiness. And let me ask you this. What entity is putting a judgment on it, whether it's good or bad? I say life is an experience without judgments. It's an experience. The judging, that this is good, this is bad, is an instant peace sucker. We already know about fear. We're still going to go. We already know about fear. You know that fear and peace and contentment don't live in the same house. Worrying. We already talked about worrying. You know the thing about worrying is, especially you people that worry and say that, oh, this is going to hurt. Put a seatbelt on. This is going to hurt. I don't know if it's going to hurt. Put a seatbelt on for this. Worrying. That you worrying about somebody means that you care about them. That's a program. You worry about them because you care about them. No, you worry about them because you're programmed to worry. And it is a program. So how does that feel to have somebody worried about you? How does that feel? And if you really love someone, would you want them to feel like that? When you tell somebody, and this is the truth, another seatbelt, put a strap on, everything, seatbelt, shoulder strap, harness, might put a helmet on too. When you tell somebody that you claim to love, that you're worried about them, what you're really doing is trying to make them change their behavior so now you don't have to worry about them. I'm going to worry about you if you don't call me, which means I want you to call me. See, this programming is so deep, people. It's so deep. I'm worried about you, so call me. So the setup is, so what do? That's when you fall into practicing trust. I don't need my son to call me when he makes trips. And if anything happens, it's part of his journey. It's part of his destiny. For me, too. You know what? Where is that? Oh, hold on a second. I'm going to get this. Hold on a second. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. Here I am. So listen to this. I told you I went on a trip. So every time I leave on a trip, if I leave the house, I've been doing this for I don't know how many years. I said, well, if I don't come back, I want to leave a nice note for my son, and I have my best friend, and I leave a note just in case I croak on the trip. And so I left this note on Wednesday, and it says, I'm on my way to Boca Raton, Florida. I'm on my way to Boca. If I don't return, I love you, Nathan, and I love you, Sid. Thank you. I love this life. I'm happy every moment, even though I didn't know it. Recover quickly, rejoice quickly. February the 1st. That's it. Good, bad life. Let me get back to the list. Taking anything personally, we already know that. It's not personal. This is not a personal world. This is not a personal universe. You already know my Walter O'Brien story. Complaining. Especially complaining about something you don't have any control over. The complaining about something you don't have any control over, that's a program. It's also a distraction. You know what the ego wants more? Is for you to be distracted and off the journey. Meaning, if for you to be distracted and think that this situation that you're in is real. Trying to control anything or anyone outside of yourself. Having a preference. Now, this is an interesting one, having a preference. I prefer the hot weather. I prefer cold weather. No, I had to let go of my preferences for weather, too. When I moved to Oregon, from California, I used to see the sun, and now there's no sun, and I didn't even realize that I was attached to the sun. Where's the sun? And I'll never forget. I said, I will never complain about being hot again. I will never complain about being cold again. It doesn't matter. Or the weather. It doesn't matter. Whatever the weather is, I'm going to be okay. Hot, cold, I don't have a preference anymore. Let go of all your preferences. Trust me, that's a deep-seated program. And I'm not talking about personal preferences. I'm talking about preferences, meaning personal preferences, I prefer red and blue. I'm talking about something that, oh, God, it's raining today and now you're bothered. Or it's too hot today and now you're complaining. That's what I'm talking about. Hope that makes sense. Judgments, all judgments. Living in the future, living in the past. You already know it. Living in the past, living in the future. A baby, 6 months old, 1 year old, they are in the moment. This whole practice is going back to who you really are. You weren't in the moment. That's where, and I catch my ego. My ego loves to keep me distracted, loves to tell me, you know, let's talk about a conversation you're going to have or conversation you did have. It just loves to do that. My ego loves to keep me engaged. I watched it this morning. I witnessed it this morning. And see, that's the thing. The practice is witnessing what your ego says. Witnessing, but not identifying with it. Living in the past, living in the future. The past now, that's fine with me. The future, uncertainty, I have no idea. other than what I have on the agenda in my classes that I'm teaching, I have no idea about the future, and I'm not even involved. Not concerned, not even interested. Here we go. Watching or listening to the morning, afternoon, or evening nightly news. How many of you out there do that? I don't know about you, but I the news. But I remember one of my students. She was very fearful, and I said, "Do you watch the news?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, why?" I said, "Aren't you scared?" "Yes." I said, "Well, stop watching the news." She couldn't. Fear had become her identity. If I told her to cut, when I said stop watching the news, that would be cut off your right arm. You follow me? This programming is deep. That's when you know you're afraid, and then you're watching to even be more afraid. So you're feeding fear. You're feeding it. Sharing bad news. Well, this is a good one. I don't know what it is that people, I do know it. It's the programming. Can't wait to share something that's horrific. Did you hear about the mass murders? Did you hear about the mass shooting? You will never hear me share any bad news with anyone, ever. If they need to find out, they'll find out. It's not coming out of my lips. Wanting someone else, okay, seatbelts, helmets, you've heard this one. All you cute little people, all you wonderful people, all you little people with causes, from the environment to the animals to the, I don't know, recycling, land, I don't know, whatever, I said animals. Wanting someone else to think what you think is important, and to be slighted because you don't think that's important. You don't think it's important that, no, I don't. But you can. But can you leave me out of your shit? You can be, but no, I don't. And I learned this the hard way. I don't need anybody to think what I think is important anymore. I told you about that movie. I told you about Con Air, about how I found out that everybody doesn't want to be happy. No. Some people, happiness hurts. Peace hurts. Levity causes pain. That's what I learned from that movie, Con Air. No, everybody is not like me. Everybody doesn't prioritize what I prioritize. We are as different as our fingerprints. And the differences, accepting the differences, is the practice. Okay. Thinking money can buy inner peace or happiness. I have already shared the article. There was you've heard of the bucket list, 1993. Ted Leonsis, he's a billionaire now, survived a plane crash, and he said, you know, my life is going to change. And I think he wrote a book about happiness and business. Yeah, he did, wrote a book about happiness and business. And in 1993, he listed 101 things on his bucket list. And I'm here to tell you, I've read everything on this list. You know, you can look it up. Nothing on this list adds to your peace. Well, no, I'm not going to say nothing. There may be three. 101. I'm looking at it right now. Partner, start a company and sell it, own a sports franchise, meet Mickey Mantle, catch a football, change somebody's life via a charity, okay, own a mountain home that stays in the family, go to a World Cup, play in a celebrity golf tournament. Listen, I get the things to do. Everybody can have a list of things to do, but don't think these things are going to bring you any kind of peace. Go to London, go to Paris, go to Australia. be on the cover. Oh, be on the cover of a magazine. Produce a TV show. See, the thing is, these accomplishments, great. But just know that the accomplishments aren't food for the soul. They're food for the ego. I'm talking about feeding your soul. Go to a movies award. See, all of this. This is what the program is. Do this stuff. Sail around the world with the family. See the Rolling Stones. Okay, I got it. Start a family tradition. Own a Ferrari. Oh, own a jet. Own a yacht. Thank you. Own a yacht. Own a restaurant or a club. I'm not poo-pooing any of this. Happiness is a serious problem. Look out there. The lie is do, and you'll be happy. And it's not the truth. Thinking that red. Ask anybody. You don't need me to list anyone, do you? You don't need me to start listing the Princes, Michael Jackson, the Anthony Bourdains, and the recent ones, the Twitch, and the, oh, let's throw in Will Smith. And there's an article, I said it before, November 2021, he wrote and he said he wasn't happy. He had everything, accomplished everything. And in the article, you could look it up, he said, I'm not happy. See, I just did all this. I just did all of it. I didn't do it backwards. I'm not even going to say backwards. I just did happiness first. And all I'm doing right now, hey, this is what I got for you. You want to know what I discovered? And that's all I'm here to do. That's it. Back to the list. We're almost finished. Sharing bad news. Thinking anything is serious. Thinking anything is important. It just is. Oh, this is a good one. Ooh, this is really tricky. Look around. You think you're noticing with some, oh my goodness. I have to share this story. This happened, in the airplane. Oh, God, Robert, stay with this, Robert. I was sitting on the aisle. This is going back to Nevada. I was sitting on the aisle seat. And the lady in the middle seat on to my right was an Instagram model. Gorgeous. And then she had her friends, husband and wife. They were on the in the same row, but across the aisle. So now, and they were foreign. They may have been Russian. They were. I didn't recognize the accent. It sounded a little Russian to me. Anyway, I'm sitting in my seat, and of course, and the next thing I knew. And when I say Instagram model, I know that because I she's sitting right next to me, she's taking pictures, you know, hair across her face, different pose, head tilted. You know, I used to do all that stuff too. And I am, you know what I had to realize? I'm 67. I'm not 40. I'm not 30. And I guess people can tell that I'm a little older. Like, they can tell that I'm older and I'm not, hey, you know. So she didn't say, excuse me. She didn't, this is for you, Robert. She didn't say, excuse me. She didn't say, nothing. All of a sudden, out of the clear, she reached her, she had her phone. She wanted to show her friend her phone. So her arm went right in front of my face. Probably 3 inches from my nose. 3 inches. I mean, what the hell? It's never happened to me before. Not that close. Right in my nose. And she passed it on, and I sat up, and I said, listen to this. Here we go. I said, don't do that again. And I waited a little bit, and I said, without saying excuse me. But listen to this, my dear audience. I didn't say it loud. Now, you know me, you know that I would have said that loud before. Oh, I would have said that loud. I didn't say it loud. She didn't even hear it. But the interesting thing is, remember when I said monitoring your growth, monitoring yourself? I said that, but there was absolutely no anger to it. For the first time in my life, no anger. So I said it, but no anger. The second thing that happened, and I shared this story with my son, because he's bothered by people that are quote unquote inconsiderate, and again, that's another program. See, saying somebody's inconsiderate, meaning you're taking it personally. They're just being themselves. They're, you know, and whatever it is, they're just doing them. I can't change anybody. It's up to me to accept it. Do I want to, am I focusing on them or am I focusing on my peace? What am I focusing on? Whatever I'm focusing on is what's ruling me. Whatever my focus is my leader. So I'm not going to let my ego tell me she's inconsiderate. Wow, rude. I'm rude. No. No one can be rude to me. No one can be anything to me because I'm not going to label it. Anyway, back to. So now I go to sleep for a little bit. I wake up and I look. I had a hoodie over my face. And I sit up and I look down and guess what? She has her right leg crossed over her left and her perfectly white tennis shoes are halfway on my side, where her foot is halfway on my side, that if I stretch my legs out, I touched her foot. And I sat here. This is what I'm talking about. It's a practice skill. I'm talking every moment. It's constant. There's always something to do. I promise you, you'll never get bored with this practice. So I'm sitting there and I'm saying, Rebecca, is that really bothering you? Is that her foot? Or is it? She's not hitting you. Sat there. No, it's okay. Couple of deep breathing. Again, I'm watching myself, but there's no anger. There's no irritation. There's no annoyance. It's just, let me figure this puzzle out. Let me put this puzzle together. See, the anger and the frustration comes when you attach a story to it. Well, I'm pissed off because of this other person, or I'm pissed off because of the circumstances. How about you're just feeling a lot of different emotions at a lot of different times and let go of the story of why? So then I came back and I said, I stretched my legs out and I hit her foot, and then I, not. So I did my, I didn't even say anything. I did my hand like you shoo away a bird. Shoo the bird away. Shoo bird. Don't bother me. What was it? Is it shoo? No, shoo fly. Don't bother me. That's the song. Shoo fly. Don't bother me. Shoo fly. Oh, I digress. Sorry. That's another show. Shoo fly. Don't bother me. I shooed her foot away. And then she said, I'm sorry. And she said she was sorry. And then, it was an interesting plane ride. The long hair, and she at one time she took it, because, you know, there's a lot of extensions. There's no way somebody's hair is that thick. It was the size of a baseball bat, the ponytail in the back. And she took the hair and, you know, wrap it. And when she was wrapping it, she was hitting me in the head with her hair. She was hitting me in the head. She hit me probably 3 times with her hair. Nope. And next moment. And then it gets even more. Because I scratch that. Watch. Here we go. This is another tip. Be conscious of when you say because. Be conscious of when you use that word because. Know that after you say because, whatever story you're going to come up with, is authored by your ego. That's not a universal study. It's a programmed story. Whatever, when you say because, like you know why, because A, B, C, or D, that's another hint. That's another practice. Because? I don't use it. That's the beginning of a story. If I'm feeling any kind of way, I'm feeling that kind of way. There's no reason to it. Is there a reason why the tides come in, tides go out, sun comes up, sun, you know, moon comes up, moon goes down? Did you see the full moon last night? Or the full moon tonight, too. Let go of the stories. The practice is letting go of the stories. I promise you, that's a huge one. Everybody's got a story in their head as to why something happened. And you know it's the truth. It makes sense. The ego will convince you and try and say, yeah, that's the reason why this is happening. And I'm here to tell you it's not. But that ego will try to make you think that this is, I know why. And the truth is, the why, it's because it's part of the journey. We're all on a journey destined to experience exactly what we are going to experience. There's no stopping it. You can't avoid it. That's why I'm up here just enjoying it. It's just time to enjoy the ride. Either you do it now or later. I'm 67. I'm doing it now. Sharing bad news, learning something else. Okay, let's see. Things. Okay. Noticing what someone else is doing. Oh, I have to tell you the end of the story with the airplane. Well, before we landed, or you know, you get the plane is maybe about 15 minutes up, and we're ready getting ready to land. Guess what my foreign friends started doing? They started making fun of me. I have never had anybody make fun of me before, and they were speaking in a different language, so I had no idea what they're saying. But they would talk back and forth, and laugh, and talk back and forth, and laugh. And then you may say, how do you know they were talking about you, Rebecca? How do you know? Some things I can feel, some things I can't feel. And I'm saying it, even if they weren't, let's listen to this one. Even if they weren't making fun of me, I'm saying that they're making fun of me, and guess what? I believe that they were making fun of me. You follow me with this. I believe they were making fun of me. I said, oh, you know, young, hip people, here, old lady, you know, and plus, you know, I'm wearing my sweatshirt. I mean, come on. I believed they were making fun of me. And guess what? I wasn't bothered, insulted at all. I thought it was humorous. Wow, what are you making fun of me about? What? Huh? I wish I could hear it. I mean, I want to laugh too. When I say the practice works, the practice works. You cannot be insulted. You cannot have your feelings hurt. You cannot be disappointed. You will not be disappointed because you practice not having no expectations, which is another letting go of all expectations. I didn't mention that one. Eliminating every expectation, all expectations. If you want to eliminate disappointment and heartbreak for the rest of your life, eliminate all expectations. Coming up to the final three. Giving power to words. I know The world is programmed, and 98% of the population, yes, words are powerful, yes. Follow me here. As an individual, you cannot insult me. You cannot make me feel any kind of way with your words. You can't. The world can't. You Google my Walter O'Brien story. You can't. You can call me anything because I know, here we go. Did you hear what I said? Because I know the truth. Scratch the because. I know the truth. And so do you. You can feel it. The last three, well, we said giving power to words. Second one, comparing yourself to others. Comparing yourself to someone else. I did it. Even the small, you know, I used to always compare myself to Oprah, and I'm thinking, no, thank you. Only because you don't compare stars. We are unique individuals, and it's the programming that compares. And it's the programming to look at someone else and think that I'm lacking something, or maybe they're lacking something. It's the programming that looks outside of self and makes a judgment. You're programmed when you do that. That's not who you are. That's not what you did when you were born. The programming is the cause for the suffering, not the events themselves. Not life itself. It's the program. And I'm slamming on this concrete, on this granite countertop. The programming is what is causing the suffering, is what causes the suffering. And the last one that I'm is blaming anyone or anything outside of yourself for how you feel, for how you're feeling. It's just not the truth. In conclusion, you want to silence that ego? You want to silence that critical mind? You want to silence those thoughts? Ask the ego, hey, can you tell me a good story? Can you share with me what's good about this situation that I'm in? Especially a struggle and a challenge. Ask your ego, can you tell me, even if it's the worst, health, money, oh, you're on the street. Hey, universe, can you tell me, or no, Scott said, no, hey, ego, can you tell me what's good about being homeless? You follow me? I mean, I'm really, let's go. The ego will never, ever, ever have an answer for that question. You want to shut it up? And the second question again is to, because we have a new people here, is to ask the ego, how is this moment, no, scratch that. Before you ask this next question, you give a little statement. I know my past. Looking back, I have a lot of evidence of everything that happened to me in my life served me. From my health issues, from my health challenges, money challenges, relationship, job, all of it. Everything here is serving me in every moment. I know that. It has. It continues to. How is this challenge serving me, ego? How is this challenge serving me? And you don't have to wait for the silence because it's instant. Oh, well, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday. Let's see what this is. It's heard every Sunday, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can. My website is being updated. It is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RLNorrington. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I am updating everything. One of these days, you know, the YouTube channel is going to be updated too. And until next week, my dear listeners, I would like you to remember that you are conscious energy having a human experience. Love is kind and love is patient. Be kind and be patient with yourself. Be your own best friend. You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Reality, Spirituality, the Truth About Happiness. Have a conscious week.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experiment. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby. Good now. Get real good.